Jane Austen's classic novel Pride and Prejudice goes from page to stage in an adaptation opening July 5th at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival. Both adapted and directed by Deanna Gent, the popular tale depicts the dreadful misfortune of falling in love with someone you're determined to loathe. Adapting a novel for a play is a challenge, says Gent, where the adapter must stay true to the source material while meeting the expectations of modern audiences. Gent says she enjoyed the book when she first read it, but never considered adapting it until a colleague issued a bit of a dare.
She was talking about wanting to find a script for their theater company, and I just asked her what she was looking for, and she said, well, we'd really like an adaptation of Pride and Prejudice for a small company. And I said, well, I could probably do that. So and she was like, what? So then I reread the novel and I went, oh yeah, I remember this. This is great. I will admit, as a teenager, I was much more into the Bronte sisters, the Wuthering Heights, and all of that drama. And I read Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility, but they felt a little cool for me, right? But then as an adult, coming back and reading them, I went, oh, I didn't get all the humor that was there.
Yes.
So when you approached it to adapt it, you're adapting it for the stage, and you basically have to pretty well streamline it. There's a lot of characters. Can you explain to me how you went about winnowing it down for a small company?
When I approach adapting novels, or even when I approach directing Shakespeare, I like to think about, if I had only an hour to tell the story, what would have to stay there? And so I kind of go through the text and find the spine. Like, we absolutely have to know these pieces. Like, she has to meet Darcy at the ball. I mean, it essentially follows the Elizabeth Darcy story. And so then that's my starting point. And then I go back and say, now, what do we need to support that story? What's going to help? And it really becomes a matter of, there are so many wonderful scenes and exchanges, even between Darcy and Elizabeth, that don't make it into the stage version because it's like, oh, that's a lovely thing, but we already had some wordplay, you know, earlier, and we need to advance the plot. So it becomes, there's so many walks and so many letters and so many journeys, and just having to pare that down and try to make it still comprehensible for an audience that's not able to turn the pages back and check where they were and things like that.
There are many, many, many fans of Pride and Prejudice out there who will walk into this with, pardon this, great expectations.
Yes.
And they're looking for certain scenes, they're looking for certain lines. It is a truth universally
acknowledged. It is a truth universally acknowledged is the opening line of the play, and I won't give anything away, but there will be an opportunity for the audience to say that along with us.
So that's a great responsibility for you, to be able to hit those notes and answer the needs of the people who have expectations.
Yeah, and I always approach adaptations as trying to remain as faithful to the text and to use as much of the text as we can. And so 98% of what they're saying is coming directly from the novel. The other 2% is me maybe adding in a name so the audience can follow. Oh, that's Wickham. But even in this adaptation, the characters sometimes take their own narration. So for example, Mr. Bennet has a line when Mrs. Bennet's been talking to him a lot, and he says, Mr. Bennet said nothing. And I could just have him say nothing, right? But it's funnier if he tells the audience, I'm doing this deliberately. And so there's a mix of the third-person narration from the novel that is kind of the voice of Jane Austen that gets in the script as well.
There are many versions of this on the stage, on the screen, on the TV, versions with zombies. Why do we keep retelling Pride and Prejudice?
Well, it's because it's that story of the two people who don't like each other liking each other. I mean, it's Benedict and Beatrice from Much Ado. It's that idea that we see somebody and tell ourselves a story about them, and then it turns out to be not the story. And so Darcy and Elizabeth each do that. They each make their own first impressions. And then they spend the rest of the novel kind of unraveling and seeing where they saw incorrectly or made assumptions.
That's what I like about Elizabeth, is the fact that she actually faces up to the fact that she made a mistake, she made an error in judgment, and she admits it. And I find that rare.
Yeah, it comes about the center of the novel after she reads Mr. Darcy's letter, and she says, and she realizes her own pride and prejudice, and says, up till now, I haven't known myself. And then she tries to figure out what to do about it. But also Mr. Darcy at the end says that Elizabeth taught him things too. So they both learn, which is also a good story.
What does this say to us today? Is there a particular message that in 2019 we could take from Pride and Prejudice?
Yeah, I think it has to do with that notion of the stories we tell about other people, particularly those we don't know. So we see somebody at a store or in some location, and with one glance, we think we know their story. And it's not very helpful, and I think it's not very true. So the more I can get us all to think, I wonder why I think that story, or I, you know, try to actually find out more about other people, I think it's very relevant. And it also reminds us of a time before Twitter and the interwebs and, you know, all of that, where you had to walk 3 miles if you wanted to go see a neighbor, and you had to send a letter, and you had to, you know, compose the letters. And
this, of course, essentially is a love story. It's Elizabeth and Darcy. But what I always liked about Pride and Prejudice were the sibling relationships. I really enjoyed, especially the Bennet sisters, how they got along. And I think the sibling relationships are another heart that this has.
Yes, and we're having fun with the five sisters and working out their order, and had some fun in rehearsals talking about family dynamics and hopefully finding ways to tell those stories all the way through the adaptation.
Tell me about your Elizabeth and Darcy.
Elizabeth is Aida Pirzada, and Darcy is Fred Geyer. And they are both embracing, I think, all the aspects of the characters. What I've enjoyed so far about them is that they're not trying to soften the hard edges of these characters. I mean, Elizabeth is outspoken. She talks before she thinks. Mr. Darcy tries to think before he talks, but then that is almost a problem because he overthinks things. And so, yeah, we're having a good time with that relationship.
You are the adapter of this play, and you're also the director of this play. Tell me about all the advantages that gives you, and if there might be some disadvantages in that as well.
I think that it's a huge advantage to be both the director and adapter, because when I see, for example, that a transition between two scenes doesn't seem to be working very well, I just can go back to the novel and say, all right, what happened? What can I do here? We were staging the ballroom scenes, and I had in my mind that we could hear people talking while there was dancing going on, but that doesn't really work. So I was able to move the dialogue to before and after the dances. I think that directing is part of my adapting process, and so that the script has been fluid, not that we're making huge changes in it, but we're making a lot of tweaks as we go along and finding the dynamics of this playing space as opposed to the smaller space that it originally was in 15 years ago when I did it.
That's Deanna Gent, adapter and director of Pride and Prejudice, opening July 5th at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival. I'm Laura Kennedy.